This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and we roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything. Guys, this is a very exciting show because we have someone on who we honestly reference maybe like every other episode.
We've certainly like talked about a great deal in the past.
Right, totally.
And kind of a different thing. Like we have not had a journalist on before, EJ. You're our first member of, I don't want to say member of the press because that just gives, that gives us the wrong impression. You're the first, like, researcher, like, person that we've quoted consistently on that side of things.
Yes.
I feel honored and scared a little bit. And what, like, what context have you quoted?
Majority of, like, you know, your research articles about, like, you know, like, the pizza delivery guy article that you did and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, we find that there's a lack of journalists or, like, thorough articles that speak to what we do here. It's often us cobbling together information. So we catch on when we're like more than once are like, oh, that person at Rolling Stone is back. You know?
Like, yeah.
Oh, this art, like this journalist advice is extremely helpful. They keep popping up. So you're on that short list of folks that we rely on for like really helpful features and articles and your voice. So
For those of you who don't know, EJ Dixon is a senior staff writer at Rolling Stone covering culture. For Rolling Stone, she's written about furry conventions, TikTok scammers, the sexual assault allegations against Ron Jeremy, and a murder that went viral on Instagram. She got her start as a technology reporter for the Daily Dot, focusing on the intersection between intimacy and technology, and she's also contributed to the New York Times, New York Magazine, GQ, and Elle. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
EJ, do you, like, when someone asks, like, what kind of a writer you are, like, do you say that you write about, like intimacy and technology still, or is that something that you focus on?
It's definitely something that I focus on, and it's definitely, like, an interest that I have. I guess, like, usually I tell people I just write about weird shit on the internet.
Sure.
Because that's just the easiest way. Yeah, which sometimes includes porn. That's just kind of the easiest way to sum it up.
Right. Cool. Do you feel like you are like a sex positive person or in that vein then?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can be and cover the adult industry.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you shouldn't be, I guess.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's kind of like your journey been like with like sex positivity then?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think I've always been a pretty sex positive person. Mm-hmm. Like I went to a very, very liberal arts school, where you kind of like can't not be, know? And like, I volunteered at like a sexual information center. But definitely covering, the adult industry for as long as I have, like has made me more so. Yeah. I would say. Like, I think I'm more prone to defending things that other people wouldn't necessarily defend.
Sure. Totally.
Yeah.
You've interviewed so many porn stars. Do you yourself watch porn?
Not really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable, honestly, because I've talked to so many of these people.
Sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. We can sort of relate to that, although we, like, our whole thing is that we came in as connoisseurs and enthusiasts, but it is a different experience to try and watch something being like, oh, look, it's that person I know from real life and have hugged.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, and just like knowing about how the industry works and like the production process, it's just hard for me to watch without, I mean, even in watching those videos that you guys sent me earlier, it was hard for me to watch without thinking about it completely analytically, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The sheen is gone. Like, the fourth wall is broken. We also talk a lot about, like, the testament to, like, an amazing porn is when we forget that we're watching, like, someone we know, or we're watching, you know, we're thinking about the camera and the setup and the dialogue and, like, all elements of production that are often, you know, hard to find great quality in the porn space. I mean, hence the podcast.
Yeah. What are some of your earliest experiences with porn?
My earliest experience with porn was, did you guys play The Sims growing up?
Yeah,
I know it well. I did not. That would be Rachel's purview.
Absolutely.
So you could buy different skins for different, like, objects in the game, like you know, like clothing or wallpaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And somehow I ended up getting wallpaper for my Sims character that was this woman with huge fake tits being eaten out. just like the most explicit hardcore porn photo I had ever seen. I was probably 9 or 10 at the time. And I remember being really fascinated by it.
Yeah.
And like not really knowing why. But yeah, that was my first experience with porn.
Oh my God. That's great. Takes the cake in terms of everyone's first experiences. That's really good.
Yeah,
Sims wallpaper
beats out some of the performers we've had on or our own experiences. Mine was like AIM and like hearing about like a 15 centimeter cock from a French guy and having to be like, and how many inches is that?
Right.
Doing that research.
Right. Yeah. Mine is always like, you know, Skinamax. That's my late night premium cable. That's like softcore stuff, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if you grew up in New York, but Robin Bird was big.
Oh, yep. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys should have her on the show.
Should. We've actually talked about that before. We should go after that. We should pursue her.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel like has been the most interesting, like, what are some of the myths of the industry, of anything about, like, intimacy and tech? Like, what are the things that have kind of blown your mind in your journalistic research process? Like, when have you kind of had your assumptions subverted?
I think that everyone's assumptions about the porn industry are pretty much wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honestly. I mean, I think people just assume that everyone in the adult industry is, you know, addicted to drugs or, mm-hmm. you know, was abused as a child, because there's no other possible reason why anybody would enter into sex work. And it's just like, well, I don't understand how this is any more exploitative than, you know, working at McDonald's or working at Walmart. Like, it, you know, if anything, like, you can make way more money.
Yeah.
If you're a woman and you're treated better. And that's not to say that the adult industry is perfect. But I mean, I think what's really blown my mind is how much it functions just like any other industry. And that when things do go wrong, like, it's in large part because of how the mainstream industry perceives the adult industry. Like, there's a lot of discrimination against adult industry performers, just like platform discrimination, bank discrimination.
Yep.
And I think the story that I did on Ron Jeremy is a really good example of that, where he was just basically allowed to allegedly, you know, sexually assault people outside of the porn industry for years, because people thought that was just standard behavior that was expected from the porn star. And like, the truth is, it's not. Like, you know, most porn performers are very respectful and understanding of people's boundaries.
Yeah.
So yeah.
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 That's
absolutely
a great answer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically what you're saying is a lot of what we talk about on the show too, that like marginalizing the industry itself, creates more danger for those performers and to be like, oh, well, you're a sex worker anyway, so who cares about sexual abuse, is a lot of times the narrative.
Yeah.
Or at least the societal perception. And
didn't you sign up for it? You
know? Yeah. As if they're one and the same thing, which is a deeply dangerous way to think about the industry itself and sex workers. Yeah. Destigmatize. Yeah. That's a big part of the work.
Yeah,
exactly. That's a much more succinct way of putting what.
No, I really appreciated the way you answered it.
Yeah. Is there a pitch or a kink or something that you're like dying to cover?
I don't know. I feel like I've done pretty much all of it. You know, I came out of the gate hot, right? Like, mm-hmm. one of the first pieces that I ever wrote for during my first year as a journalist was about rosebudding, which I don't know if you guys have covered.
Oh, yeah. We
haven't
about
done
that.
A whole topic, but we've talked about it inside of yeah. the gaping episode, right?
Is I that think we actually referenced that article.
Oh, actually, yeah. yeah that yeah. very well could have been yeah. your work. Yeah. That might have been our first intro to your work. That's so funny.
Yeah. I mean, once you start out writing about that, like there's nowhere to go really, you right. know, but
yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't really go.
That's true. You can go sideways, but not necessarily like that much edgier.
Deeper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah
we face sure. a similar challenge, you know, we go more niche all the time, but we're not necessarily mm-hmm. like outdoing ourselves in terms of the like,
right.
the wildness of the topic, mm-hmm. so to speak.
And the sky's the limit too. I mean, Rule 34 like is really mm-hmm. a thing.
You yeah.
know? Yes. Like sometimes I'll pitch ideas and then I'll kind of like stop myself and I'll be like, well, is it really this surprising that like this thing exists? Like, is it really that surprising that like frozen Anna Elsa Foss porn exists?
Yeah.
And like, sometimes the answer is yes. Yeah. Sometimes the answer is like, okay, you're just way too like immersed in the space. Like you don't know, like most people would find that incredibly weird.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nothing really surprises me anymore,
right.
to be honest.
Right. Yeah. Well, speaking of down. Rule 34, let's talk about the topic, which is yoga porn.
Mm-hmm.
And EJ, you kind of tossed this our way, which was great because we haven't covered it yet. And really kind of a interesting topic. I couldn't find like too much in terms of like, what, like the intersection of yoga and porn, but definitely like the sexualization of yoga,
mm-hmm.
And kind of.
Yeah, I think we should come out swinging and obviously state like this feels potentially unnecessary to say, but let's yeah. cover it. That like yeah. yoga, as most of us think of it, is actually something appropriated from Hinduism.
Right.
And is like an entire philosophy and practice that has a much richer and deeper and literally ancient history that extends mm-hmm. well beyond the wellness gurus we think of.
Yeah.
I have never encountered yoga porn that speaks to that. The closest thing I've ever seen is like tantric sex or Kama Sutra stuff or like mm-hmm. anything that actually delves into like different aspects of South Asian culture. But mm-hmm. I think for the purposes of today, what we're actually mostly looking at is the trope that is like a one step for like goes to Rule 34 and is one step further than just the standard like pop cultural appropriation of like yoga as exercise
yeah, yeah.
and takes that exercise class and is like, okay, we've all thought about what it'll be like to fuck someone in one of these classes. Let's exploit that, particularly like most often cases from the male gaze. So
yeah,
just setting that level first.
Disclaimer. I didn't realize that in like the history of yoga that it was male dominated for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like women weren't even allowed to practice it.
Wow. I didn't know
yeah,
that.
I know. It wasn't until like the post-classical period of yoga when it became popular around the world and where women started practicing it. So we're talking like in the late 1800s. Yoga was introduced to the United States in 1893. Which was weird for me to think about, that someone came to like the Chicago Columbian World Expo and brought yoga. And then in the 1920s is when yoga kind of started its journey to popularity by this guy, Pierre Bernard, who actually ended up being pretty creepy. So.
Yes, a different kind of intersection in like Venn diagram is also like
mm-hmm.
the cultism of yoga, or like that's a different
yes.
like if we talk about like the sexualization of yoga and then also the like cultish behavior, there's like an overlap there. Like we
right.
Mm-hmm.
I found or was sent. I still have a habit of saying like I found this article when we actually have an intern now, and it's a whole lie that I'm like I was sent this article and I read it
by our fabulous intern Claire.
Yeah, about like a European cult based yeah. around a quote unquote yoga guru. So that's
right.
not a common, but not unheard of.
Right.
That some of these cults spring out of mm-hmm. so called spiritual practices.
Right. And like Bikram and
did
that
I just say
guy.
Practices? Am I trying to sound highfalutin? Yoga practices.
Adjust your glasses when you say it, please.
I'm not wearing them today. I think I'm overcompensating and that's what's happening.
That was something that I was thinking about a lot and watching the videos that we're going to talk about later, yeah. sort of like the abuses of power and the teacher-student dynamic mm-hmm. within yoga. And it wasn't what I was thinking of when I pitched this to you guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was not thinking that seriously. I was literally just like, oh, I've seen a lot of GIFs of like some guy like tearing some MILF's yoga pants off. Like, yeah. And I haven't seen anything written about this. Like, maybe we should talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I do think that there's a lot to say about the power dynamics within yoga and how porn kind of exploits that.
Yes. I mean, that's generally the story structure of every yoga porn, you know? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And it's the story structure of a lot of the kind of porn that we talk about, particularly mm-hmm. if we're looking in the mainstream space.
Right.
It's any opportunity to be like, ooh, there's potentially... Like, it's largely created for the male viewer who's like, mm-hmm. I've been in a scenario where I've kind of had, like, an inkling about someone, like... How can that either be exploitative and fun for me to think about, or like the flip of it being like, oh, I want to be dominated by my teacher. You know, like there's mm-hmm. sort of, there's a little bit of that push and pull. Obviously right. with the videos we're talking about, it leans particularly with the browser one that we'll get to is much more like leaning into that like guru vibe and that like creepy power dynamic that we see in a ton of like mainstream porn tropes that we'll get to it a little later.
And also like, this is assault, maybe? Question mark? that's what the storyline is here? Okay, cool.
Yes. In this one, like, yeah, that's exactly what we would be seeing if we didn't know these were performers. So yeah.
So I was trying to find like research and articles about like why like yoga is like how it kind of came into the porn space. But when you really think about it, I mean, like it makes sense because there is something sexy about it. Like you're standing around in skimpy clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you're in these poses where like a lot of times like your ass is in the air. Like, of course, at some point you're going to think
about
like,
you're farting.
Yeah. Right. Sure. You know, like, and also when you think about things like, you know, when I was little, I found like a Kama Sutra book and, you know, all these different poses and there's some correlation in between like things that look like yoga poses and things that look like Kama Sutra poses. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like it makes sense to me. Like, it's not that big of a leap.
Yeah, it's an obvious grab in mm-hmm. the porn world. Yeah.
Yeah. And like tantra and things like that, you know, mm-hmm. which is to increase like body awareness and you know, physical health. And like there's like red tantra, which is the sexual technique, and then white tantra, which is solo practice of meditation and yoga. So they're kind of like underneath the same tree.
Mm-hmm.
Tree? Sure, we'll go with that metaphor. Mm-hmm.
So, EJ, if the power dynamic wasn't an element of what intrigued you about this, was there anything in particular that was sort of fascinating about yoga porn that you wanted to explore, or just a general curiosity because it's popped up in your travels?
I think more just a general curiosity,
sure.
Because and just kind of the intensity with which I've seen it introduced, like as a trend on Pornhub, like it just seems like. A couple years ago, like overnight, every single ad on Pornhub was like a guy ripping a woman's yoga pants apart. Mm-hmm. And like I should say, I think from the perspective, if you like you interviewed porn vendors, I don't think they're thinking as deeply about this as like we are currently. Like,
yeah,
I think they think, oh, it's about MILFs, asses and yoga pants.
Yes.
I think that's exactly what they would say.
Yeah.
But I think that's the appeal. And I thought it was kind of interesting just because I was working on a book proposal about motherhood for a while and mm-hmm. I had a chapter on MILFs because of course I did. And I do think the intersection between yoga porn and MILF porn is like very real. And like, I find the rise of the MILF interesting socially.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's rich also, mom vibes, you know.
rich mom vibes. Yeah. It's also that like you said, like no one at the top of MindGeek or the porn aggregates is thinking that deeply about this. It's just that like chicken and the egg thing and that algorithmic thing of like if we're on Instagram all day and like these yoga legging brands have this like major resurgence and yoga is a huge part of a lot of what we see in like influencer culture and we're just in general as a nation and as a world being like just looking at asses in yoga pants, then like, yeah, we're going to rip them open on a porn site. And that's going to be the gift that you see advertised to you is like, haven't you wanted to see the butthole through the pants? Now you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. Rip it open like a present.
Yeah.
So I have some stats actually from Pornhub Insights. And actually, aside from yoga, the most common search for terms underneath the, that is yoga pants and ripped yoga pants and tight yoga pants.
We nailed it.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah. So it's definitely about the pants. It's about the pants. I mean, I get it. They're tight. You can see like every curve, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then for a little bit, like Lululemon was like, they were see-through, you know?
Yeah.
Like there was like a mistake in the fabric.
And everyone I pitched an idea a while ago based on the sheer amount of yoga porn ads that I was being served. Mm-hmm. Like who is making these tearaway yoga pants?
None of
the yoga pants I have ever bought have been that easy to tear. Like there must be somebody making like tearaway yoga pants specifically for these porn videos.
Exactly. Well, the video that we're going to talk about, the mainstream video that we're going to talk about.
Those are tights.
Those are tights. Like that's not even, those aren't even yoga
tights. I imagine what we're seeing a lot in porn is just like the cheaply made, unfortunately, like sweatshop labor, fucking just thin ass leggings. And I'm sure somebody in, you know, wardrobe in some of these porn departments is like, you know what brand is great because it's see-through and it rips, but it looks like it's not see-through for the first wide shot. Like, I'm sure somebody has gotten to the bottom of that. But it's not like Lululemon or like Outdoor Voices or Girlfriends or whatever those brands are. Because those are like pretty sturdy. Like those like cannot be ripped open. You would literally need some really sturdy scissors to rip those open. So.
You guys are really observant. I had no idea those were tights.
Well, when you spend hours on end watching porn, like, you know what I mean? Like looking for all of the things that are wrong. Some more stats. 18 to 24 year olds are 63% more likely to search for yoga related porn. No surprise there. Men are nearly 50% more likely to search for yoga porn than women. And then in 2015, there were over 1,000 variations of searches containing the word yoga. So it kind of like had a boom in 2015. And I think it was specifically there was like a browser's like a like yoga orgy video that came out. And then everyone was like, oh, yeah.
There we go. It makes sense with like the rise of brands like Lululemon. I feel like that's when that shit started to pop off.
And also there's like this thing on, you know, since like the Western appropriation of it, like yoga has kind of become the thing for like skinny, white, beautiful women, you know, like that's so of course it's going to become sexualized. Like if that's what as our culture, like we're thinking the clientele is, like, of course we're going to jump.
It fits
there.
Into the conventional narrative of like, this is who we're all trying to fuck. And like, this is what we're capitalizing on. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Does the data show any like peak in 2020, like during the pandemic? Because I feel like everybody was watching Yoga with Adrienne like all the time.
I don't. I there's nothing for 2020 specifically. But wait, what's Yoga with Adrienne? Expand.
Oh,
that.
You don't know. Oh, Yoga with Adrienne is it's this YouTube channel. It's this really hot lady who seems really cool. Actually, so, like, I don't really want to like sexualize her, and like she seems very cool.
Yeah,
but she does like sort of beginner's yoga, and and her channel kind of exploded over the pandemic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
oh,
cool. I don't think we like literally have the data for that, but absolutely like there was a burst of Zoom and YouTube yoga, so it absolutely would track that the porn might have peaked at the same time. Unfortunately, we just don't know, but.
Right.
I'm willing to. I put my money on it.
Right.
I would wager.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, did you guys speaking of that? Did you guys see Kristen Bell recently posted like a or Dax recently posted like a naked picture of Kristen Bell like doing like yoga, like she was like in downward dog. I know.
I missed that. I don't follow. But
I was like there was like an article online of like being like what a strange thing to post for Mother's Day.
or the best as long as she was down.
Like, yeah, I mean, like he had like an emoji like over like the parts that you don't, you know, he didn't want to show. But
So her asshole and vagina were just like out.
And it was just, and she was wearing socks and she was like had like her leg up like in a downward dog, like stretching out her hip, you know, like opening up her leg.
Oh,
and he was just like, I know.
Good, clean, splashy fun.
Right.
Nice. Well, shall we take a quick break before we talk about these videos and get to these tights?
Yeah, let's do it.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So the first film that we're going to talk about is from Balesa Films. It's called Private Session. And I'm going to come out the gate with a criticism, actually. I find it a little upsetting that I don't know who the guy is in this video.
It's Robbie Echo, and it actually does show up when you pause the video.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, but here's my thing, though. Like, when I'm scrolling on Balesa,
did it just list Demi?
It doesn't even list Demi. It lists the title and like some tags, like, oh, passionate, like hot guy. You know what I mean? But
gotcha.
It's like, but I want to know, like, the performer should be just as important, if not more. Like, what if I like this video and I want to follow that? I want to follow that guy's OnlyFans or like tip him or something.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. I think I found my way to the video like via direct links, where like if you pause the video, because I was about to go back and be like, who's the guy? Because I know Demi better. But yeah, you're right. Their platform isn't entirely intuitive that way. And
right.
I think a lot of us are looking for specific performers. So
right. And also,
we'll send them a note.
I'm going to let them know. Also, like, I want to know if someone directed this. Because I'll be, like, happy to know if it was a woman, which I think it was. But I don't want to assume.
Yeah, it might have been Jackie. Like,
I think it might have been Jackie.
I was curious
James.
About that right. and couldn't find that. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so it's Robbie Echo. All right. Well, ignore me then. I didn't pause it. That's the thing.
Yeah, you just watched it all the way through.
All the way through, baby.
But yeah, director was not listed on the pause, so.
Right. Okay, so it's Demi Sutra and Robbie Echo.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know, because he was hot, you know, he had a nice body. I was into him.
Yeah, I think we've crossed, I've definitely seen him around. Don't know him personally, but I was like, yeah, right, this guy. And then was like, ah, yeah.
Brief synopsis. It's basically what we were talking about earlier, like the storyline of like a yoga teacher, like kind of like crossing lines. But it's, you know, it's inverted where it's a female yoga teacher, which we liked, and a male participant.
It is funny that it's called Private Session, and then the first thing that happens, she's like, I was expecting a larger class, and I was like, so accidentally Private Session.
I was like,
oh, that is uncomfortable for you. I would hate to be a teacher of yoga and be like, I got one fucking person.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, it's just like doing a play weekend. For three people, you know?
yeah.
I thought that was so funny because like on a writing level, like it's so nakedly expository, but at the same time, it's like that happens all the time. Like in real life, I've definitely been like in yoga classes where they're like, okay, well, fuck, we're the only student here. So then I guess we'll teach, you know, you pay for it. So let's teach you.
I think nakedly expository is probably the most articulate way that you could describe literally every porn setup of all time.
It's like actually perfect.
Yes. Yes. How do we in one line be like, they're going to fuck?
But yeah. Yeah.
We're going to hold it off as long as we reasonably can within a 15-minute video. Yeah.
What was also weird to me is that she was very much annoyed with him at the beginning of the class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he was kept being like, oh, so you've been practicing yoga for a long time or like teaching, like you're really flexible. And she's like, ugh, like gross, you know. But yeah. Then I didn't see a switch. Like, obviously, she ends up like putting her hand down his pants. But I wanted to be like, where's the switch of her being like, actually, you're hot, you know?
Yeah, the closest thing I saw to it was when she was sort of on top of him after mm-hmm. he had said she was beautiful. Like, I think that's mm-hmm. where it was intended in the script.
Mm.
But, like, in that moment, there was a little bit of, like, a missed opportunity.
Right.
For like, I think she could have come in, like, a little less, with a little less attitude about the guy. I was like, okay, Demi's having a rough day.
Yeah, she hates him.
Her fucking class is empty. Yeah. She's got to get through this. Fuck this guy. And, like, there might have been a way to soften it, but I agree that it was, like, he literally just said, like, she was beautiful, and he got nervous because she touched him. And then she was like, I guess I will suck your dick. Sure.
Sure. But I also loved that, like, as soon as she did start, like, you know, jerking him off, like, she was kind of like, you have to be quiet, you know, like, you have to come quickly because, like, I have another class. And I was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
This is what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Like, hushed intimacy. Sign me up.
Hot. Yeah.
I thought it was a great video. I mean, aside from, like, the dialogue and, like, this, I don't think we need, like, nearly as much, like, setup, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could have got there with, like, no dialogue and, like, her just, like, kind of, like, enjoying, like, you know, him getting nervous or something. And then, like, the sex starts and, like, making a move on him. And the sex looked kind of a little basic, you know, like, there wasn't really, like, anything too exciting. Mm-hmm. The most exciting thing for me, I think, was when he, like, picked her up. And then I was like, okay, he's strong. Cool.
Little bonus hit.
Right.
Yeah. I also think, like, we watch so much porn that it's, like, really hard to care about anything that feels like vanilla. I mean, I actually had sort of the opposite experience in a funny way where I was like, this is hot because it was just like, yeah, like, this is athletic fucking. And I was like, I'm actually into this. Like, it's been a while since we've watched anything from Bellessa that's, like, a little bit more like, it's just going to be, like, people fucking with talent, you know?
Right. Athletically.
So I did actually, like, enjoy that aspect of it. Uh-huh. Obviously, and we say it, we've said it before, we'll say it again, more clit stuff, like, more for her. Like, I thought it was fun when he was, like, eating her out from behind.
Yes, but that was the hottest thing, I think, for me. It's like, that's where we started, you know? It was like,
and I did, like, when she was riding him, like, that was kind of fun for me, too.
Right.
It was
the hottest thing for me is when, like, her ass was up in the air and he was jerking himself off and, like, eating her out. And I was like, that's hot. And then we just got a lot of, like, slamming, which, you know, there's a time and place for it. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, sometimes, like, just the sound of it and, like, can be, like, very exciting and tantalizing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it just felt like it was, like, 10 minutes of, like, hard pounding.
Yeah, it was pretty, like, standard, and it didn't have, like, a tremendous build.
Yeah, I would have loved a little variety.
I didn't feel strong tension or, like, a story within the sex. It felt like we built up to the sex, and then the sex was sort
of... And then it was just sex.
Lived, just plateaued in the sex, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It did sound wet as hell, gotta say.
You clocked that, huh?
I did, you know. Yeah. I mean, what do you guys think? Did you like it? Were you into it?
It honestly made me a little uncomfortable.
Tell me. Talk about it.
Which part? The fact that we brought you on a show and made you talk about porn that you had just watched or the porn itself?
No, the porn itself for the reasons that we were talking about earlier. Like, so first of all, the fact that, like, he gets uncomfortable because she touches him. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go to a yoga class, like, the teacher is always like, can I touch you first?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Always. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll ask for your consent first. And she doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, whatever. But then she just, like, you know, after he says she's beautiful, she just, like, sticks her hand down his pants and, like, doesn't say, like, is this okay? Or it's just, like, 0 to 100, like, immediately. And even though it's a female teacher, like, I don't know. That creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's totally fair. Like,
right.
it's such a rare thing. And we're obviously like much more sensitive, like, which is a shitty bias. Like,
yeah.
If a guy was in a yoga class and was harassed by a female teacher, it would be no more acceptable than the reverse.
Right.
But we're told in the porn space, like, oh, well, he said she's beautiful, so he wants it. So it's okay.
Right.
It's such a special treat and a rare one to get like consent actually on camera inside of the like exposition of a porn, and this wasn't one. Yeah, it was just like a leap. Like there were ways that they could have like built a little more chemistry or just built to like.
Yeah, I like
this
the narrative
is a two way. Yeah,
yeah,
that's key to me, to my enjoyment.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's definitely like we've talked about a lot on the show where like there are creative ways to and ways for it to be sexy while still having like a moment of asking for consent. Mm-hmm. Like she could have just like put her hand over his dick and been like, "Is this okay?" You know.
Yeah,
or just like or like on his leg, or just like worked it up, or just like a little bit of like, whoops, like we're both making physical contact a little bit, and like encouraging the other, you know?
Or he could have moved her hand there,
exactly.
There are ways for it to like look consensual, or you know, without the actual like verbal,
Or what about like start with a kiss? Like since when do you just leap to the hand down your back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why can't he just be like, can I kiss you?
Yeah.
And like, their faces are almost touching. Can I kiss you? She says yes. And then they make out for a while. And then you can do the hand down the band.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Very good point.
Yeah. We went for the hand job and then the kiss. Which, as you'll learn in our hand job episode recently released, is not the order of operations that we would generally recommend.
Very strange.
Yeah. Totally. Although,
only if you're married. Right. If you've been married for 5 years, like, that's okay.
But right. And you just grab someone's dick. Of course. You know.
It's a thrill.
At that point, it's yours, right? Like, come on.
Well, not exactly. I mean, we're not advocating for marital rape
just
here.
I'm kidding.
But yeah. I'm no fun. But... yeah, like it feels, of course, to the outside eye, like it would have been easier to just like massage the setup to make it more consensual and just like a little like hotter. Like, I think if it had felt more mutual and a little less abrupt, like it just felt kind of clunky being like, hand job, now sex.
Right.
I was like, it could have been really hot. Like, they could have accomplished that in a minute and like upped those stakes and just made that chemistry feel more palpable.
Right.
But
agreed.
We didn't quite get there.
I will say, though, because I am particularly lonely in my life right now, still got me excited. You know?
Yeah.
The video still got me excited.
Yeah. And I still was like, it's hot athletic sex. You know? And like, it didn't like knock out other favorite porns. But I was like, this is something I would watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Not necessarily at 8 a.m. on a Friday morning. Like, sure. I'd watch this at 8 p.m. on a Friday night. We'll see how my day goes.
Okay. If you're lucky.
All right. Shall we move on to this delightful
Is it Brazzers
mess?
Or Brazzers? And I actually can't believe that we don't know this officially.
We've talked about this before. I heard on a like research podcast about porn itself that Brazzers is under the MindGeek realm, and because it was like Brothers that founded that company, that it is actually like a mispronunciation of Brothers. Like,
oh god, that's so funny.
Yeah, like,
oh my god.
I can't verify that, but that is
Brazzers.
Information I gleaned. But like, well, it kind of doesn't matter. Like, Brazzers, Brazzers, like, it's not Brazzers on purpose, but it's also not like Brazzers or Brozers. Like, it's already.
I
sort
say
of
Brazzers
like,
because I'm from Michigan. You know,
yeah,
I can't
and I'll
help
allow it, babe.
Thank you.
I'm not really worried about like getting Brazzers perfect, you know.
Right. It's all, exactly.
Because that's not the like intention of the brand anyway.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
Without further ado, Brazzers, sexy yoga instructor Brooklyn Gray fills her tight pussy and ass with a monster cock. So first of all, that's first we're off, we're wrong, because she is not the instructor.
Nope, there's a lie.
and to take it one step further, I would argue that she doesn't really fill her pussy. This is that basically like we're looking at assault as if it's not a scenario. We're like, he's calling the shots there.
Right. This is with Brooklyn Gray, Kenzie Madison, Katie Kush, and Steve Holmes. And so we're in a yoga studio. And the girls there's two girls already there who are already doing the thing that I hate, which is giggling in a porn.
giggling, slapping each other's asses at the beginning of yoga class.
Yeah, like, right.
Instantly red flag, this is a cult. This is not a
right.
yoga class.
This is not what this girl signed up for on ClassPass, you know?
Uh-huh.
I literally wrote, this is what I hate about mainstream porn.
She does also, like, turn to us and, like, deliver the isolated line, hi, I'm Brooklyn. I saw the flyer for your class. Talk about naked expository. Yeah, yeah, nakedly expository.
Oh. But then he says something like, oh, so you know that I take a hands-on approach.
Right, yes.
Like, what did that flyer look like?
I had exactly the same question that was like, want to get fucked while you're doing yoga by a creepy elf? Like, come to this yoga class.
Right.
Yeah.
The angles also in this video felt like a scary movie. You know what I mean? Like, it was a lot of like stuff from below, which I know is like a thing in mainstream porn, but it was like lots of like extreme angles that made it look really creepy. And like,
yeah, lots of bizarre perspective.
Yes.
And like, and yeah, it's funny, come to think of it, there is overlap. So we're sort of jumping ahead here, but I have to, when he pulls out his cock and she looks at it, I am 100% certain that's the longest.
Yeah.
That is the longest and most ridiculous open mouthed gape we have ever seen in response to a cock. And that's saying something, because
like,
we've already talked about hating that like, just you just dangle a dick and I'm literally, my jaw has to drop.
And
it's
says,
a solid like 30-second open mouth reaction.
And she's so, her mouth is so agape that he can just pop his dick right in. You know, mm-hmm. Like, how convenient.
Yes.
Oh, my God. He's literally wagging it in front of her face.
Yeah.
But I think I'd react the same way.
Really? You would?
If it was that big.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I would just be like astonished. And then
yeah.
I would leave.
Yeah.
I would be astonished and leave. I just don't think I've just never seen a human hold their mouth open in astonishment for that long.
Right. That's true.
It's comedia. You know?
Right. Yeah. It's clowning. Okay. Also, like, this is absolutely not, you can tell that this person is not a yoga teacher because his posture is quite terrible. You know?
Yes.
Like, come on.
He circles the room with what I can only describe as like mini Catholic incense. It's just like a little like incense, like canister, you know, that he's like swirling about. Clearly nothing's lit, but he's just kind of swinging that around. Yeah. With like his little belly popping out and his little
hunched
shoulders
over.
Hunched.
Creeping around.
This is a guy that I want to like see at a family picnic and not in a porn. Like, he just feels like your fun uncle, you know,
Steve,
like your
Holmes,
fun, creepy uncle, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. He's 60 years old. And what's crazy about the porn industry is that this man is 60 and he's not even doing like grandpa porn, you know?
Yeah. He's MILF, just the MILF becomes GILF at like 40.
Yeah. 35. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy's 60 and he's like, he's a sexy yoga instructor.
He's our creepy yoga guru. Yeah. A couple other highlights, just like in terms of how we work up to the sex. So first, like, we're in class, or at least pretending that it's class. And he goes from woman to woman and like takes out his cock and just like rubs it vaguely on each of their asses.
It's cracks.
He like squats. Like, I don't know what the yoga pose is. Is it raven? Is it hopping frog? But he crouches behind them and like just drags his dick across the like cracks of each of their asses.
Yes. You know, aligning their chakras.
Such delicious dialogue as chop chop, which I've never heard in a yoga class. Like,
never.
Hurry, line your asses up.
Yeah.
And then he takes a special interest in Brooklyn
and
just fucks her in the ass.
And her purple neon tights.
Yes.
We get a great moment where he literally just presses her asshole like a button.
Mm-hmm. That's how they work.
You know? And she's like, it's like a weirdly like, she's weirdly like hypnotized by this.
Mm-hmm.
And we get like a weird, like, you know, Crace, like the ahagao, like eyes, like crazy, like mouth open. And he like rips open her tights and we just get straight to anal. Just right to it. You know?
No lube.
No warm up. Nothing.
No foreplay. Just get that big honking dick in there and proceed with your day.
She's like, this is the best stretch of the day.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated that line.
Your cock feels so good stretching out my asshole. Uh-huh. That was the only part that I was like, oh, I see a little camp there. That's a little fun self-awareness.
Right.
Yeah.
What happened to the other women?
They went away. I had the same thing. I was like, where did class go? Because we just get involved in the fucking and they're not even like in the background anymore, which ironically.
Missed opportunity.
Yes. Since we talked
Absolutely a missed opportunity.
Yes. Yeah. You know?
And her crazy performative orgasms, you know, like that was like, this is why I'm like, I really hope that there is an end to this type of porn in like the somewhere near future. But it's like, we're telling people that that's what an orgasm looks like. And like, no, it's not.
And that's how you achieve one.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And that, yeah, assaulted yoga class is the fastest track.
Yeah. Right.
To an orgasm. Yeah.
The most impressive thing in this video was her holding the squat and getting fucked from below. I gotta say, I was like, that's impressive. You know?
That was impressive.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a video where I was thinking about how tired I was just like watching it.
Of course.
Yeah.
And also to like have something in your ass while you're in a squat position, you know?
Uh-huh.
There's a lot going on down there.
That's a high demand. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of lower body work.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what do we think? I mean, like, are either of these things going to be videos that you masturbate to?
Since you said porn is not necessarily like a common thing for you, it's understandable if not either way, EJ.
Right. But, yeah.
I would stick Private Session in there.
Really?
Yeah. Demi Sutra is high on my list. I like her.
I really like her. And I like Robbie Echo now that I know his name and I'm going to check out more of his stuff. But yeah, I mean, I can't tell if it's like because I'm in a particularly dry season that like that video like did turn me on. But maybe I might revisit it. Honestly, you know, he was hot.
Yeah. In the curated tabs, as I've discussed before, sometimes things are like at the front, like they're an amuse-bouche or an appetizer. This one I could like throw in the mix. Like I'll skip the exposition and just get to the fucking.
Exactly.
And create my own montage of like climactic fucking that this might be included in. That's probably how I would fuck with this.
Yeah.
I actually preferred the browsers video.
Did you?
Interesting.
I did. I preferred it until it was straight to anal.
Okay.
Because I liked the group aspect of it.
Okay, sure.
I thought, you know, that would be an interesting scenario to be in. Like, and I appreciated, they didn't really play with the yoga pants, like the ass trope and the tearing apart of the pants in the other one.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of that trope.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the appeal.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's obviously like two completely different styles.
I was gonna say too, like occasionally like the camp and the ridiculousness of mainstream porn can be really fun. Like we've done episodes of being like, I like the shitty one where you like don't know where it came from better than the ethical one because it's just like so self-aware and ridiculous and over the top. And that can be kind of fun. And like something like the Blessed One that takes itself a little bit more seriously, it can almost be harder to like get into it because you're like, everyone's serious. This is really happening, you know, and that can sometimes take you out of it. But
yeah,
I did like the sex in that one.
I also feel like a lot of people would say that the appeal of porn to them is like the trashiness of it.
Right. Right. It's true.
Or like, you know, the garbageness of the ethics in it. I mean, and that's, you know, precisely what's like arousing to them. Which is why I think it's a difficult thing to talk about. I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked about this a lot, like, you know, ethical versus unethical porn, because there's a lot about like desire and arousal and horniness that isn't like inherently ethical.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. It goes back to those power dynamics that like I like to watch a certain kind of porn where it does feel like a little dangerous. But there were times when prior to this podcast and doing more research, I'd be like, is everyone OK? And like I couldn't get turned on because I couldn't get that out of my head. So it's nice to like when we're able to find something on an ethical platform, we're like, this is campy and ridiculous. And it feels like the power dynamics are a little bit dangerous. But because we trust the platform and the artists involved, and we have like at least enough knowledge to feel like, this is trustworthy, this is safe, then I can like turn that part of my brain off that's like, look out, assault, you know?
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely better.
Yeah. It's always a complicated dance though. It's like something we constantly talk about, and it's so hard to achieve that, like, you know, it's kind of a pinnacle thing to constantly strive for. Like, is it still hot and feel dangerous and feel trashy in a way I want it to? Or does it feel too sanitary because of that safety element? And it's a really hard balance to strike.
Yeah,
for sure.
And for me, at least, it's like the littlest thing will take me out of it completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the littlest thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like a look on somebody's face. Like if somebody doesn't look like they're enjoying themselves for like a moment, or like, you know what we were talking about before, like the unrealisticness of the teacher, like not saying, can I touch you before touching his back? Like,
yeah.
I mean, just the littlest thing will take me out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
It really has to be like perfect for me to be super into it.
Yeah. Mm.
That makes sense.
I know. Well, and that video is out there for you, EJ. I believe it.
Someday you'll find
it. Thank you. I'm a parent, so I don't have time to like wash my hair, let alone watch extensive pornography. But I will keep maintaining hope.
Thanks so much for joining us, EJ.
Yeah,
a delight.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. For our listeners, where can they find you and your stuff?
I'm on Twitter at EJ Dixon, and you can find me on rollingstone.com or in the July, August issue of the magazine. I have a couple stories coming out.
Amazing.
Not about fun.
Oh, great.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a blast.
Of course. Thanks
for coming on. Thanks so much for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram at Girls on Porn. That's porn without the O. On Twitter at GOP the podcast. On our website at girlsonporn.com. And also on our Patreon, patreon.com/girlsonporn.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And if you want to drop us a sweet little 5-star review, feel free to include your Instagram handle. We'll tag it and thank you.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.